We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We have about 20 minutes left in the show, and we have to talk some Grizzlies. So we bring on Parker Fleming. We give him a little bit of time away from watching film because he never stops thinking about basketball. But he is on X at Paka underscore Flocka. He has a free Grizzly Substack called Substack Elitist. If you do donate to it, all proceeds go to St. Jude. So make sure that you go subscribe and then donate as well. But Parker joins now. Parker, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing all right, Gabe. But yeah, you gave me a break from watching film. You know, take the strain off my eyeballs of looking at my computer, looking at my monitor, taking notes, watching film. To just get a nice, fresh breath of air outside. You know, it's a beautiful day outside. It's not too hot, not too cold. But more importantly, we're here to talk about Grizzlies hoops. And, you know, I wonder what we could talk about, Gabe.
Yeah, I wonder what we could talk about. Right? It seems like there's a guy who's been out for a year and some change who's coming back from a pretty traumatic injury. His name's Brandon Clark. He's questionable tonight, and he is likely to play. What in the hell do we expect from Brandon Clark the rest of the year? How about that? Let me throw that feeler out there first. I'll say this. It's just nice, and we've talked about this on several occasions, with the way this year has gone, 24-48, it's just nice. Any bit of good news, it feels like great news. It feels like the best thing that's ever happened to this franchise because of how things have spiraled out of control. But Brandon Clark is back. That's good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, one of the hosts of the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show and a columnist of Commercial Appeal, Mark Giannotto, put it perfectly in his column. You know, I might be paraphrasing a little bit, but it's great news to end a terrible season.
Right.
From like injury standpoint, luck standpoint, all that. It's just one of those things. I think this is a nice little morale boost. And when it comes to expectations, you know, I wrote about this on Substack Elitist where I don't have any expectations on, you know, production or how he's going to look. But I more so have expectations on what I'm monitoring. Like, I have expectations on his comeback. Like, for one, like, at the end of the day, I think it's good for him to come back personally because, you know, I think it's good for him to kind of make this little cameo and get his legs under him a little bit. But it's also just go through the routine again. You know, get that psychological block out of the way. You know, he's going through pregame warm-ups. He's checking into the game. He's going to box out. He's going to set some pick and rolls. Like, there's stuff like that. I think that kind of stuff's very important to just kind of go ahead and get out of the way now before next season. But also, too, there's just a difference in the gap between, you know, going 13 months without playing a game and going 19 months without playing a game if they just waited until next season.
Right.
But more so just, you know, what I'm monitoring, you know, how does he offset any loss in athleticism? And I got to say, like, I think everyone's talking about the athleticism, how he's going to look like because his game is predicated around athleticism. And I don't think it necessarily is predicated around athleticism more so than I think it's more about how athleticism amplifies his skill set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has incredible touch near the paint, near the elbows. But because of his athleticism, he's able to generate vertical separation from his defender and for a signature floater. He has really nice touch around the free throw line, the elbows. I think I wrote today he's shot like 53% on long mid-range jumpers dating back to the 21-22 season. He shot 72% from the free throw line. You know, I think those sort of elements are what I'm watching for, especially since, you know, he may not have the vertical pop for these explosive alley-oop dunks that he's had in the pick and roll, but can he shorten his role and finish more in the mid-range? I don't know, Gabe, how long you've been following the Memphis Grizzlies, but Terrell Arthur was really good at that, made that a staple of his game where, you know, he can go above the rim, but he can also kind of short roll a little bit and just get something around the elbows, something to watch for Brandon Clark there. But also I thought, you know, he's a solid passer. He doesn't drop these like gaudy assist numbers or anything, but like he can make decisions out of the short roll to find open teammates.
Yep.
So that kind of stuff's like what I'm monitoring. He's not going to play every game. The Grizzlies have two back-to-backs left. He's not going to play in both games in the back-to-back. But, you know, to see Brandon Clark out there, it's a nice morale boost all around. It's a morale boost for the team after that devastating injury. It's a morale boost to him. It's a morale boost, I mean, obviously, to the rest of the organization, the fan base. It's just good to have him back. Where at, like, to where the point, like, I don't care if he has 0 points or 10 points or 0 rebounds or 10 rebounds. Just like, just get back out there, get in the rhythm, get ready for next season.
No,
that's
but,
all I'm expecting.
But to be honest, I want to see some lobs around the rim. I want to see him finish.
Too.
And I think more so than anything, going into this offseason where you're talking about having to go get a big, you know, who's going to play next to Jaren Jackson Jr., I want to see Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. lineups pick up where they left off. That's one of the biggest things that I'm looking for.
Dude, that is my favorite lineup combination, probably of all time, because I wrote to say, Gabe, in the 21-22 season, the Grizzlies outscored their opponents by 13 points per 100 possessions when those two guys were on the floor together. Like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we're talking about Brandon Clark potentially starting
as
Jaren Jackson Jr. At the end of the day, you want that optionality of like, all right, we're going to go smaller and quicker with Brandon Clark. We're going to go big with insert big man.
Yeah, whoever
it is. Not here yet here. Let's go quicker with more spacing and have Gigi at the four, Jaren at the five. You want that optionality. I would honestly, if I'm the Grizzlies, I would have Brandon Clark with Jaren Jackson Jr. on the floor at all times. I would not have a single minute where Clark is playing without Jaren Jackson Jr. for this final stretch of games. But yeah, dude, I tell you what, if I see a Brandon Clark alley finish, if I see him dunking, I feel like we'll see some of those, you know, not in volume as we're used to, but we'll see them. I will ascend to heaven when I see that first Brandon Clark lob.
I hear that.
It's going to be
an
out-of-body experience.
Yes. Now, I think the narrative that's sort of getting created, and I agree with it for the most part, is seeing what he looks like for the rest of the year may clear up at least some of the plans the Grizzlies may have in the draft or on the free agent market as far as getting bigs and what type of bigs they need to target. Do you buy into that narrative? How much do you buy into that narrative?
I mean, I think they already, you know, I think their decision tree is, you know, pretty clear and for them, and I don't think Brandon Clark and how he looks will sway it one way or the other. Obviously, if he comes back and he's looking like pre-injury BC, then you're like, okay, like this is something. Like we may have to consider like, hey, let's just start Brandon Clark because you have that synergy already with Ja, Bane, and Jaren and Brandon Clark. That could be the no-brainer, but I mean, I don't think it impacts the decision making one way or another. Like I'm not gonna watch Brandon Clark in the final 10 games of the season. Like, oh yeah, he's playing.
Yes,
he's playing to the point where I don't want Donovan Clingan.
Yeah, like, you know, I get that.
Yeah, or Eve Missy. Like, I'm not gonna get to that point. But like, I don't think it's a 0% thing. You know, of how it dissuades it or persuades it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a really good point, Gabe, that I honestly didn't really think about.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. No, for sure. Now, I have seen a lot about the NBA draft and the Grizzlies and the lottery and where they could potentially be. And I think most people are having the conversation, BPA, best player available, or do you draft for need? And I think there's one guy in particular who could be at the top of the draft where you're drafting for need and you're getting the best player available, could be potentially the best player available, and that's Donovan Clingan. But you made a good point today. You made a really good point today that a lot of people, I think, are sort of neglecting to discuss. As much as you want to believe that these mock drafts and where these guys are listed is where most NBA teams are going to have them on their boards, they're going to draft whoever they want in that moment based on where their board's at. Just because you see a guy mocked at 13 or 14 does not mean the Grizzlies would not take him at 7. Considering that mock drafts and teams' boards do not necessarily coincide with each other. And I think a lot of people are sort of ignoring that sort of discussion. They're ignoring that, you know, the Grizzlies, in the end of the day, their board looks probably substantially different than most of the mock drafts we look at.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best example, you know, that at least highlights it, like I read, when it comes to draft coverage, there's probably no one I read more extensively than Sam Fassini from The Athletic. And he will even say in all of his boards, or mock drafts, these boards may look different based off team need, team play style, however way you want to spin it. And like I'm even like looking at the 2021 draft through mock drafts in the toilet, because Jalen Suggs was supposed to go top 4. He went 5. Toronto right. shot everybody and took Scottie Barnes. And everyone was like, wow, that's a bad pick because the mock drafts didn't say that. That's a reach. And guess what? Scottie Barnes won Rookie of the Year and was a contributor on a really good team.
Right.
There's a bunch of different examples. I know we only have like 20 minutes, so I'm not going to get into them. But yeah, like I think a good example even for like this draft class in particular is like the Kentucky guys, you know, Shepherd and Dillingham. You know, there may be a team that values the feel of Reed Shepherd where they're like, yeah, I would take Reed Shepherd 1 or 2. And there might be some that have him late lottery. Or, you know, I even saw people like Jeremy Wu from ESPN. He had an article about the case for Rob Dillingham at 1. But then I listened to a mock draft from Sam Fassini and Bryce Simon from Game Theory Podcast where they're talking about Rob Dillingham at 14. So, like, it's one of those things that it's all team-dependent, and it's also, like, it's all about what you prefer out of your players. And obviously for a team like the Grizzlies, you know, they may have Dillingham lower than the consensus. They may have Ron Holland lower because he didn't shoot well in the G League and the Grizzlies deep spacing around John Morant on the wings. So, like, I don't care what I don't care what the mock drafts say because I value the work that people do, and it's a very fun thought exercise more than anything, because the people that are doing that work, you know, they're the ones thinking, like, they're using critical thinking of, like, okay, what is Team X thinking of what might fit around their core, or what do they want to add to their core? What are they going to value the most in this particular draft? Like, I think it holds value in that way. It's just more of a thought exercise, but I don't think it should be the end-all, be-all when it comes to how we perceive draft picks.
And people are not going to like what I say, but when it comes to the Grizzlies and Zach Kleiman, they fall in love with guys, regardless of how they have all panned out. They fell in love with Zaire and probably overdrafted him by most mock drafts at number 10. Jake LaRavia was right around there. David Roddy was supposed to be some second-round pick for the most part on most mock drafts. He was 23rd overall. Santi Aldama, I don't even know if he was listed as a draft pick when he got picked. That's worked out, but they got him at 30 at the end of the first round. So the Grizzlies tend to sort of buck trends when it comes to, okay, we're talking about these mock drafts and where these guys should be slated. Grizzlies don't seem to care about that.
Yeah, I mean, even then, you bring up the Santi Aldama dynamic in there. I think I only saw one national board that had Santi Aldama considered. And guess what? No matter how inconsistent you think he's been, like, Santi Aldama's returned first round draft value and overshot his draft slot within that draft. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. Now, if it's not,
like, again,
keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So again, the mock drafts aren't the end all be all because these teams, you know, they have entire scouting departments looking at all angles of the draft, all angles of the board, all ranges of these prospects and what we perceive as the tiers in which they're in. So, like, there's just an abundance of information that we're not exposed to, you know?
Yes, 100%. Now, when it comes to, like, if they don't get a big, whether it's SAR or Klingon, if they're at the top of the draft and they don't trade down and they're taking best player available, what does that player look like? Is it a wing? I've seen some have like Rob Dillingham in there as a point guard and sort of a raw point guard. I don't really understand that thought process, but when you talk about best players available from that sort of, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 range where the Grizzlies are most likely to land come NBA draft time, like who do you like? What type of player do you like the Grizzlies taking if it's not a big?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think while you're picking that high, you need to have the thought process of, can I envision this player in any sort of leverage situation on the floor next to John Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr.? You know, that's kind of where I struggle with even like the Kentucky guys, because I love Shepherd and Dillingham, but I don't know if I like the fit here.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's something where you need to say, oh, you'll figure it out, because they're two undersized guards at the end of the day. Matas Muzelis, you know, big, like a big wing that can play either 3 or 4 position. Ron Holland, who's been praised a lot for his competitiveness. I still think that there's something untapped with those two guys because how bad the Ignite context is. I mean, they had to shut down the whole program, for goodness sakes.
Yep.
Stephon Castle, he's a guard, but he's 6'6" and one heck of a defender. So it's just like envisioning him with Marcus Smart and Vince Williams and Jaren Jackson Jr. It's tantalizing. But yeah, that's, if they don't get a big, that's kind of where I land. It's like, okay, because at the end of the day, it's like I go back to when I thought about Brandon Clark, because you want optionality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're diminishing your optionality going with a guy like Rob Dillingham or Reed Shepherd, because then if you pair any of those guys with John Morant, you're going to be vastly undersized, and you're leaving yourself vulnerable to have multiple guys that can be picked on in any sort of mismatch hunting in the playoffs.
Holler at me, because you're probably one of the few in this market that has watched Alexandre Sarr, obviously from France. You grind the film. What can you tell us about him, and where do you think he'll be slotted by the time we actually get to the draft? Very super athletic, 7'1". Yeah. He's a big. He can run the floor. Where do you think he'll be slotted, and what do you think about him as a prospect?
Yeah, truthfully, I'm waiting until after the season for more of my deeper Alexandre Sarr film dive, because, you know, I think I've just had the Perth and Ignite games that we saw in September. But, I mean, I'm trying to keep track with, like, Givony's clips and, you know, his production thus far. But, I mean, I have him as the undisputed first pick in the draft. And he's not your normal consensus first draft or number one guy that you've had, like, with Zion, with AD, with Wimby, guys like that, but like, he's an elite mover at 7'1". He runs the floor so fast. He covers so much space. He is so quick defending in the perimeter laterally. He's a good rim protector. He struggles rebounding, but I want to kind of see if it's like one of those things like, okay, is this a per game problem and he's not playing a lot of minutes? Because he's averaged like less than 20 minutes per game with NBL.
Mm-hmm.
He's still raw offensively, profiling more as a play finisher, which, I mean, that's fine because, you know, guess who's going to be setting up your plays?
Right.
John Morant, Desmond Bane. I mean, I don't think there's anything another prospect or star can do to move me off the idea that he should be the number one pick.
No, I hear
and
you.
At the top of the Grizzlies board.
Yep, I hear you. Now, talking with Parker Fleming at Paka_Flocka. The rest of the NBA is kind of nuts, though. The Western Conference is wild, isn't it? I mean, we had the Mavs smack the Kings last night, 132-96, to take control of that sixth spot. The Suns are flailing around. Connor and I had a long discussion about the Suns yesterday. I know that, you know, before the year when they got all these three guys, everybody's always going to say, you know, with Brad Beal and Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, you can't count them out of a playoff conversation. But if they're in the play-in, if they have to work harder than most of the Western Conference to even get into the playoffs, I don't know what to think about them. Because, quite frankly, their depth has always been a problem, and it's even more of a problem than it was than I thought it was going to be, you know, preseason. And they have the hardest strength of schedule left the rest of this year. What do you think about the Suns, man? And do you think this is as disappointing as I think it is?
I saw this coming, but like I had concerns about the Suns. I mean, granted, I was thinking like, hey, if you have two of those guys in at a time, you should probably finish near the top of the Western Conference.
Sure.
But, I mean, they just have a lot of team-building concerns, you know, where they only have two really reliable floor spacers next to those guys. None of those guys are reliable stoppers. Like, I can't really pinpoint who's their guy that if you'd say, hey, you got to go guard SGA in a playoff series, you got to go guard Anthony Edwards in a playoff series. I don't know who does that.
Right.
On the Phoenix Suns.
Right.
You know, they're at risk of a huge financial commitment because Grayson Allen has played himself into a massive, massive payday. Shout out Grayson Allen, real hooper, real shooter. But I think there's just it's kind of the cautionary tale of, for one, the big three idea of super teams.
Yep.
And two, you get into your turn, my turn offense, and it doesn't work. It's not sustainable.
Yep.
I think the Brooklyn Nets were the closest to it because you literally had three of the best ISO players we've ever seen in NBA history. Whereas I think right now you have probably the greatest shot creator in the modern NBA. Booker's also an elite shot creator. But Bradley Beal's regressed to just being a really good shot creator. And I just don't think I just don't think there's enough juice, man, like because of just the kind of pickle that they put themselves in financially and from a team building asset management standpoint. There's very little they can do to really kind of turn this around, in my opinion.
All right, now last thing for you. How worried should the Warriors be about the Rockets winning 9 straight behind them, Jalen Green playing good ball? How worried should the Warriors be about dropping out of the play-in altogether?
Incredibly. Right. Dylan Brooks is coming.
Yes.
Dylan Brooks is coming. But yeah, no.
Jalen Green, too, man. I've been impressed as hell with Jalen Green lately. It's a different Jalen Green altogether.
It's the dad bump. I think somebody said that he's expecting like three different kids from two or three different from three different baby mamas or something.
Yeah.
And he's just hooping like his life depends on it. But I mean, it's awesome. I thought they were dead in the water when Şengün went down. And I think they have taken advantage of a little bit of a weak schedule.
Sure.
I don't know if I can pull it up right now, but hey, you got to win those games. And now they put themselves in a position where they can make that play-in race incredibly fun.
Yeah, and whenever you have to get asked, I saw Draymond Green over the weekend, he was asked about the Rockets. He said, I don't give a damn about the Rockets. Well, you should. You really should.
You should, yeah.
Yeah, because you guys...
Especially when Dylan Brooks is on the other side.
Yeah, you guys are risking getting knocked out of the play-in by the damn Houston Rockets, who just a month ago were sort of dead in the water. Felt like they were dead in the water. But we'll see how it all plays out, and we will see how Brandon Clark looks in his return tonight. But I appreciate it, Parker. Thanks for hopping on. We'll do it again soon.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Gabe. Yes, let's do it again soon.
Yes, sir. That is Parker Fleming at Paka_Flocka. He has a free Grizzly Substack called Substack Elitist. All the support monetarily that you give to him goes straight to St. Jude. So make sure you support Parker. He does great work. And as we get closer to the end of the season and you see some of the NBA draft mocks and some of the write-ups on certain prospects, he does that better than anybody in this market at this particular moment. So make sure you follow Parker and all of his work. Now, on that note, we only have a few seconds left in the Gabe Kuhn Show for a Wednesday. We're going to pass you off to the Grizzlies pregame with Jessica Benson here at 6:30. Tip will be at 7 o'clock. We hope to see some good minutes from Brandon Clark tonight in his return. But I do want to say thank you for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.